We'll have the participation of the general command of the Zapatista army and students of the Zapatistas in the voice of Sub Galeano with the title, It Depends. Good morning, afternoon, evening. We want to thank those who are present, whether here in Sidesi, whether at a distance, to this second encounter of Consciences for Humanity with the central topic, Sciences Before the Wall. We celebrate the fact that we decided to participate, whether as speakers or as listeners. My name is Sub Galeano, and I will not speak of science or art or politics, and I'm not going to tell stories. Instead, I will speak of a crime and the possible analyses and explanations. And it's not any type of crime, but a crime that breaks the calendars and redefines time, that joins criminal and the victim with the scene of the crime. A crime, I say, but a crime underway, one that already took place, one that will take place. And who is the victim? Who is the criminal? What's the crime scene? Perhaps someone will agree with me that crimes are part of the reality that we live in Mexico and in any part of the world. Crimes of gender, feminicides, homophobia, racists, labor, ideological, religious, for age, for appearance, for business, for mission, for color, and so on. In summary, a territory buried in blood, so much so that victims are nameless. They're just numbers, statistics, notes in newspaper, in media, even though the blood is like they are communicators. Thousands of crimes in lowercase that feed from a greater crime. The relatives of the victims have to fight not for the life of their absence, but to keep them from dying twice, one from a real death and one from the memory. In Mexico, we can say when they died of natural death, when they were victims of violence, every activity, every step, every instant of a life that was otherwise normal is now living in uncertainty. Will I be alive to reach home, to reach work, to reach school, till tomorrow? Will they find my body? Will it be complete? Will they say that it was my fault? Will my relatives have to struggle to find me, to remember me, my family, my friends, the people who know me, who don't know me? Will they devote a thought to my death, a tweet, a commentary, a tear, and later, will they go on? Will they keep silent? How will they react when they don't say they murdered a woman, but that a woman died? What will they react when the media speak about my clothes, the time? Will there be enough time for a gender alert to be called? My murderer, will he be punished? Who will explain what part of the crime that attacked me for being a woman, a young one, a girl, adult, mature, elder, beautiful, tall, low, always a woman? Why didn't they tell me that to be born a woman and grow one, like one in this calendar and in any geography reduced my life expectations, and that every damn minute I would have to struggle not only to be valued and respected by for my merits, whether the small or large, but to have a fair retribution for my work, to have opportunities to study, to work, to relate, to be happy or unhappy, whether I run through calendars, however people call life, but I also have to struggle not to be killed not once, but twice, three times, hundred, thousands of times, because the man kills me, and those who ignore my death, and those who mask it, who dirty it with their malediction. She was provocatively dressed, she was drinking, she was at a nightclub, she was alone, hiding the fact that my crime was to live, just to live, regardless of my age, my beliefs, my color, my social and political position, my ideas, my dreams, and my nightmares. My murderer didn't decide because I voted one way or another, or whether I even have a electoral credential, whether I'm young, old, and elder. He murdered her, murdered me because I am a woman. That's how we are today. We accept that the explanation of a gender crime, the murder of a woman, a femicide, is that. She was a woman. She looked for it and let the hunting go on, because silence is complicity, and complicity is celebration of crime. From crime to normality. Let us toast, because this is the system that culminates history, where humanity reaches its greatest development, where progress and well-being can be enjoyed by everyone who can work. That is what capital system is. The system where to murder a woman is part of everyday life, of everyday death, of terror, assuming its gender identity or not. Does it depend on who explains my death, or it doesn't matter? It doesn't even deserve an explanation. My death is like rain that slows traffic, and that you suffer as one who will reach the next murder late, as one who reaches the next stoplight, another stoplight, another dead woman, another delay. The dead Submarco said that for indigenous people to be taken into account, thousands had to die. If it's only a few, it's normal. If it's a few dozens, it's part, it's symptom of their cultural underdevelopment. The government must develop the underdeveloped and so on. If it's hundreds, natural disasters, poor people. If it's thousands, then if someone asks what's happening, why? So why should ask ourselves, how many murdered women do we need for us to wonder what is happening and why? Who is responsible for the crime? Who is the victim? What's the mobile? What's the purpose? Or should we wait for the next scandal on social networks? Really? Where there was lamentation before, now there's a tweet. Shortly, in this perennial source of knowledge and concern about the common good, that is Twitter, a user condemned a female user who was condemning a femicide. The user told her, more or less, it's not a femicide because she's not a feminist, she's only a woman, and said, you feminazis do not respect other women and want to extend your hatred to all of them. I imagine that the response was of a type, you can't access this account because it has been blocked because the user is allergic to stupidity. A gender crime, we could attempt to explain it, throw in a hypothesis. We could ask the murderer why he committed the crime. And the justifications will be many, but it will be the same. The unconfessable answer will be, because I can. There will be others who will give me the reason or the motive. And yes, but it all depends. For example, a few days ago, APRO news agency informed that when deploring the femicides in the country, the Cardinal Sandoval Iñiguez referred to a presumed experiment in Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua, where a policeman dressed as a civilian and conquered women to take them to the municipal government, where they chastised them for going with anyone. In an interview with Channel 40, after a talk by Coparmex, the same person said that the increment of femicides has to do with women's imprudence. On the part of the women, there can be imprudence with anyone that goes, with anyone that is well-dressed, will go with them. And then he referred to this presumed experiment in Ciudad Juarez. As you can see here, the murderers are not even mentioned. Those who are responsible for the murders are women and their natural imprudence. Oh, I know. You're wondering why, what does all of this about femicides has to do with sciences and the wall? Well, in my defense, I say that I describe a part of this wall. And the first thing that can be seen is an extended graffiti that covers the five continents where the blood of women victims of violence colors the word guilty. Of course, it depends. Some people see great scientific and technological advancements, the lights reflected on high rises, and here we irresponsibly hearing that we are before a crime, the largest, deepest, and most extended crime in the history of humanity. A crime become system. But I said at first that I wasn't going to speak about science or arts or politics or tell a story. I said that I was going to talk about a crime. So it's up to you to continue listening, reading, or clicking the reload button because the streaming fell and the computer froze on the word that could summarize the explanation on femicides, guilty. And while transmission comes back, I look up to see if anyone is talking about those crimes, but no. Maybe my connection is not good, and maybe they are talking about that, and they're proposing strategies and plans to end with that nightmare. So, while the streaming goes back online, you and we listen to the words of the poet Juan Bañuelos. It's only an echo, the sound of his voice, because it's from back 10 years ago at the encounter of Latino world poets in 2007. He does not celebrate the prize. He shakes with rage and pain and indignation. We can hear it. But what I'm trying to say is this. On 22 December 1997, 45 indigenous people were murdered in the community of Acteal, in the municipality of San Pedro Chenaló in the state of Chiapas, the bloodiest of many aggressions they have suffered. The hatred with which women, children and men were murdered by paramilitary groups. The government tried to explain that it had to do with intertribal struggles. It's not casual also that most of the dead were women, and that sexual rape by paramilitary groups was designed to instill terror in the communities and to attack autonomous projects. Since the foundation of the indigenous group Las Abejas, the response was the tumultuous rape in December of 1992 against the wives of the founders, one of them 7 months pregnant. The massacre of Acteal means that by killing women, you destroy a symbol of resistance. The end is to kill the seed. That was the scream of the paramilitaries on that 22 December. That Indians do not reproduce anymore. The murder in Acteal is not a crazy violence or intertribal violence. The fact that it wasn't investigated profoundly and the guilty identified is the responsibility only of the groups in power in the government in Mexico. Nothing has been resolved. I imagine that there is pause, perhaps to clear one's voice, perhaps to control the rage. The next day, after 22 December 1997, I was sent to ACTEAL as a member of the CONAIE, the Commission of Intermediation for Peace, to investigate what had happened. The impression was horrible. We found bloodied clothes of children and women in the branches of the trees and in a cave where they tried to hide. Some of the survivors gave their testimony, telling how some women were massacred by opening their wombs. Four of them were pregnant, and extracting the unborn babies with a hatred that shows a political of extermination. Micaela, an 11-year-old woman, girl, is very afraid. She tells us that since very early she's with her mom praying. There are a number of women in the church. At 11 in the morning, the bullets begin. Children begin to cry. Women and men begin to run. Some are killed right there. A shot reached the wife, the back of her mother. Micaela survived because they thought she was dead. She was very afraid, and she hid by the river. There she saw how the paramilitaries came back with machetes in hand. They laughed. They screamed. They undressed the dead women and cut their breasts. To one, they stuck a stick between her legs, and the pregnant were opened their bellies, took out their babies, and they played with them, throwing them between machete and machete. Then they left screaming and shouting. Micaela was taken by hand by her uncle Antonio to go look for her cousins or people who might be alive among the dead. She continues saying, "We rescued two little ones who were next to their dead mother. The boy had his leg destroyed. The girl had a skull crushed and tried to survive. After the genocide, many could not combat. Sadness. Marcela y Juana went crazy. They don't speak. They only speak in monosyllables with the sound of military helicopters flying over the community. Juan Bañuelos asked for forgiveness. May the public from this tonight for having to talk about the horrid massacre in ACTEAL from 10 years ago, still without being solved. But I was born in Chiapas. I was a member of the CONAIE, and I cannot stay in silence. Some of them might think that I'm radical for asking for radical changes in my country, but I answer with the thoughts of José Martí, the great poet of America. Radical is not just that. That who goes to the roots. Radicals are not those who do not see things in their depth and that look for the security and well-being of other people because nation is humanity. And therefore, this homage to my people, I change it into the memory of the massacre in ACTEAL. Juan Bañuelos, poeta, finally reads the poem by the poet Shuncabo Suni, titled, "So the Army Does Not Come." Listen, sacred thunder, sacred mountain, sacred cave, we come to awaken your consciousness, your heart, so you can make your rifle shoot and your cannon shoot, so you can close the path to those men, even if they come at night, if they come in the morning, if they come with weapons. May they not reach us, may they not torture us, May they not rape us in our homes. Father of the Huitepec Mountain, Mother of the Huitepec Mountain, Father of the White, Father and Mother of the White Cave, Father and Mother of the San Cristobal Mountain, may they not enter your lands. May their guns cool down. Kahvali, accept these flowers. Accept the suffering of sacred smoke. Father of Chaplahum, Sacred Mother of Chaplahum. Juan Bañuelos ends 10 years ago his intervention saying, we demand a summary judgment against President Zedillo and his accomplices. We don't know whether or not they clapped. The recording shuts down the word accomplices. He decided to speak of a crime, and instead of thanking the homage, he demands justice. Juan Bañuelos doesn't know because he died, but the intellectual material murderers of this crime are free with the complicity of the leaders of the party Encuentro Social. And a few hours ago, just died one of the intellectual authors of that, Mario Renan Castillo Fernandez, one of the intellectual authors of the massacre. When I say Acteal, you can adjust your calendars and say Chalchihuitán or Chenalo and add the variable of the dispute for the next governorship of Chiapas between the Red PRI or the Green PRI. They will put the candidates, the indigenous militants are putting the displaced and the death and the dead. I said before that no one was speaking of the crimes against women. Well, it depends on where you listen and where you look, because there is a woman called Guadalupe and she is called Lupita. She was 10 years old during the massacre of Acteal, and she lived that horror and died it with her loved ones. Lupita is now a councilwoman of the Indigenous Governing Council, and together with a spokesperson of that council, Marichu, she's going around the country and telling that story. Lupita talks to other women. Some of them are like her, others are not. Some and others, she speaks to all of them and says, look at yourself in this story because it is also yours. She also says, organize yourself, resist, do not give up, do not sell yourself. Do not give up. Do not wait for terror to come into your home, your street, your school, your job. Neither Lupita nor their spokeswoman walk alone. Other councilwomen or indigenous like her, women like her, workers like them, mothers like them, wives like them, daughters like them, grandmothers like them, sisters like them, organized like them, rebellious like them, walk and speak in other parts of this crime called Mexico. There is no luxury for them, or private planes, or reporters assigned. Some say that they are gathering signatures for Marichuy to be an independent candidate to the presidency of the Republic. I don't know if they're gathering signatures. They say they're gathering pain, rage, and indignation, and that there is no computer application or a high or low quality cell phone. They only have their ear, their heart. Their word is always the same: organization, resistance, rebelliousness. They don't say it, but that's what they say. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm not asking anything from you. I'm just saying, look at yourself when you look at me. And when you hear me, is hear yourself. So I ask yourselves, those who are here listening, hear Thus, the Indigenous Governing Council deserve the opportunity to cover more places, talk to more people, hear to more people, and instead of offering promises and programs, also denounce a crime, share their explanation of it, and invite to end with, do away with the criminal. Not to accommodate, not to recycle it, not to forgive, not to forget. No, to destroy him, to disappear him. The response to this answer, we know it, depends on who, where, how. I have spoken of a part of the crime, because like I said at the beginning, I'm not going to speak about science or art or politics or tell a story. However, by talking about the crime, I'm also talking about the explanations that are given about it. And the explanations of this everyday horror depends on who explains it and who does it. Faithful to their models, the PRI of ACDEL renewed their persistence in crime during this administration. The corruption is not enough for them. The diplomatic idiocy, the frivolity as a governing style. They need a terrifying crime to maintain them within the parameters that give them identity, color, and project. And like in ACDEL, the same pens that archived as an anti-tribal conflict, the murder of women and children unarmed, now they're talking about internarco confrontations. One of the parts is armed, the other one defenseless. But it's called a confrontation. According to governments, an attorney general, they said, well, they were just burned. And let's pray that it doesn't happen again. At that time, with the so-called historic truth, a group of scientists demonstrated that that explanation was impossible. But the government maintained the same explanation validated by the media. The disappearance, the forced disappearance of the students of Ayotzinapa in the state of Guerrero is still attributed to a rival drug trafficking band. And an explanation of reality is constructed around it. The PRI maintains itself in the government with this horrifying cynicism. In other words, a murderer with an office in this case, organized crime in complicity with perverse scientists. The government then says that it's not responsible for everything because it is, in essence, this organized crime. But as in ACDEL, in Ayotzinapa, there are those who do not resignate, who do not give up, do not sell themselves, who do not give up, and continue persevering and demanding truth and justice. I think that there is something in neurobiology called the syndrome of the phantom. Talk to someone who actually understands about this, but I think it has to do with the fact that there is a perception of sensations that a part of the body that has been amputated is still connected to the body. In other words, you don't have the hand or the arm or the leg, but you feel it as if you had it. Perhaps, this is supposition, when we say it was the state or the narco state, we're referring to an absence. And what we contemplate and what we complain about is only an example of the syndrome. The state is what we see is the echo of the existence of the state. The state no longer exists. What we have is a band of criminals sustained by those who will use the interior security law. A few days ago, Mr. Enrique Peña Nieto declared, more or less, that 2017 was a good year for Mexico. When listening to him, you wonder whether it's not someone who is missing not only decency, but also a brain, and is reflecting the syndrome of the lacking limb. He has no brain, but he acts as if he had one. It all depends on a point of view, say the tongues of power. There is no cognizable reality, but many realities that depend on different schemes. And so I ask, if there is a crime, its explanation depends on a point of view, or can we analyze it with the support of science? Thank you for hearing, thank you for watching, and thank you especially for your unpopular scientific practice. From CIDESI University, Chiapas, December 2017. From the Gato Perro notebook. In a Zapatista community in a classroom, the educational promoter asks the girl called Defensa Zapatista whether she did her homework. From her bag, you can see the tail of the Gato Perro, or the dog cat. Defensa Zapatista stands up and decides and says, "It depends." "What do you mean it depends? I don't understand," says the teacher. Defensa Zapatista says, resigned, "Well, I have to give a political class to the teacher again." "Yes, for example," says the girl, while she looks at whether the... "Oh, you have a compañera that's called Doctor, and her surname is Margarita." "Her name is Doctora, and there are many people who are doctors. For example, there's the doc who once was asked whether he knows how to cure, and Moy asked him whether he could cure, and Doc said no, and Sub Moy said, put his eyes like this, and Sub Moy said, "Well, then you're not a doctor." And Doc said, looked at Sub Galeano like looking for support, but Sub Galeano just smoked his pipe. And so I explained to Sub Moy that he is Doc, but he's Dr. Raimundo. He doesn't know how to cure with medicine, but he just says, animo. He will always say, animo. And then Doctora Margarita came, who's not always called Margarita, because sometimes she's called Margara, depending on whether or not she gives you a pill or an injection. And so they took me to the doctor to be checked. That's how my mom said. And so there I was. And so I look at the criminal weapon. In other words, some injections that the doctor had on her table. And my thought says, I'm going to give the doctor a political class so she understands the struggle. And so I tell her that we have to support ourselves as women, and we should not harm each other as women. And so the doctor looked as if she understood, but I realized that she didn't. And so I said that, for example, there are injections that are either bad or good. Depends. For example, they're bad if they're done to a girl. Because do you think I'm going to be able to kick a ball if you inject me? But injections are good if they inject, for example, Pedrito, because the damn boy is always saying that girls don't know how to play soccer and that we are endeble, weak. I don't know what it means, But I can tell you that Pedrito is not respecting us as women, so I hit him so he doesn't continue speaking bad of us. So the doctor tried to give me a political class that injections are good. And I said, well, it depends. As women we are, we should support each other. And no injections to girls, only to boys. And if they cry, well, hit them. So they have a reason to cry, and not just because they're injecting them. And so I explained to the doctor that girls should only take pills and syrup, but only if syrup is not poor tasting. If it's poor tasting, then it should be labeled only for boys. The doctor was just laughing at me. So I think she wasn't understanding the political class, because then she told my moms that I had to take the vaccine of something or other. Do you think our struggle as women would advance if the doctor can't understand? But no. I was injected, and it hurts a lot. And I was limping for a while, but I didn't cry. Well, I cried a little, but it was just because I was angry, because we're still not understanding our politics. And so I didn't go to train. So if the team is not complete soon, it's because the doctor didn't understand politics. And so I went to talk with that guy that's called Sherlock, and his last name is Holmes. And Holmes in Celtal means the head of the head of a broom. It's kind of strange that he's called that way, but I think it's because his head looks like a broom anyway. This Holmes guy is accompanied by a guy that's called a doctor, and his surname is Watson. In other words, his hair looks like a tortilla. But I'll tell you about that some other time, teacher, because otherwise my political explanation, I will lose track of it. So if you're asking me whether I did my homework, is because the question is not right. It depends. Soup, for example, is his name, but his last name is Moy. And that's really bad, because he doesn't support us. He says, I have to obey my moms. But if his last name is Galeano, then it's good, because he does support resistance and allows the gato perro to play with his computer and us to eat his food. The dog cat moves his tail. So I asked the subgaleano if he had been injected, and he said that in the general command you cannot say bad words. So I realized that injection is a bad word for subgaleano, and the doctor says it's not a bad word. So there you can see that injections are bad words depending on whether or not they inject you or Pedrito. A damn boy accused me of gender violence because I hit him. I explained my moms that I only defended myself because Pedrito insulted me. So I applied gender equality. And my moms, well, they still don't understand the struggle, our struggle as women. And so she chastised me, and I can't go train. So I said that it was her fault if we didn't complete the team, but said, what team, what anything, you have to do your homework. And so I went to do my homework, and I took my notebook. And there you have the dog cat who is here laid on the notebook. How can you move the dog cat if he's sleeping on your notebook? You can't. If you reach, then he starts growling in his language that says, if you take me away from here, you're going to die. And so I said, well, why should I die if I'm still a child? And Subgaleano told me once that it's not good to die, that it's very boring to be dead, because days just take forever. The other day, Subgaleano was watching a video that say that they're struggling to be respected the way they are. And so I asked him whether or not there are men, whether they're men or women, and he said, well, it depends. So the issue is that what you hear and see is not enough, but you have to take many things into account and you have to listen. That's what the soup said. Because if they look at me, they think I'm a girl, that I'm just like that, that I'm not thinking anything. But if they ask me, well, I'll say I'm called Defensa and my last name is Zapatista and I think of many things. So it depends. During the whole speech of the girl, the education promoter looks resigned, but she breathes with relief when Pedrito raises his hand. So the teacher says, Pedrito, what do you have to say? Pedrito gets up and says, well, I think Defensa Zapatista didn't understand what I tried to say, because when someone says endeble or weak, it depends on the context. The girl looks at Pedrito as if she was saying, you're going to pay for this. The girl, but then the bell rang and everyone left running. Outside, the girl took out the dog cat from her bag and he said, I think we got saved. Then she saw the promoter talking to her moms and said, well, it depends. And so she went running to look for the ball that Sub Galeano was keeping in the general command. As long as she didn't say anything about the food stolen, which already Contreras was investigating. At the beginning of my intervention, I said I was not going to talk about politics and science and, or to tell a story. Did I lie? Well, it depends. With this, we end our participations of today. We thank all of those who are invited, and we wait for you at 10 in the morning tomorrow. Good evening.